Well, good morning again. Somebody left me a little gift. I'm going to toss that aside. Thank you to whoever you are. I just want to say good morning again, and we are in week two of a sermon series called Mine, okay? And I hope as you hear that title, and maybe as you caught a little bit of that video, you thought of the movie Finding Nemo and the seagulls in it who are incessantly saying what, church? Say it with me in your best seagull accent. Let's do it again. Best seagull accent. Mine, 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 right? You see, it is this word and the heart really that lies beneath it that impacts so many of us. This insatiable desire for more and even the unwillingness to part with what we have out of greed or out of fear, that drives so much of human behavior, which is really contrary to Scripture, contrary to what Jesus said. And this became apparent to us as a church actually months ago when we did our series on idols. I don't know if you remember that series. It was called Made, where we talked about how we tend to as people, or we are tempted to as people, to worship that which is made versus the maker himself, the maker of all, God. Well, in many conversations our preaching team had with congregants during that series, we heard and we found that the worship of stuff, okay, including money and possessions, came to the forefront. So with that said, we are talking a little bit more in depth about it during the series. And so with that, last week we looked at how God is what? Do you remember? God is the what? He is the owner, right? We looked at how God is the owner and we are his what? Anybody remember? Investors. Come on, guys. He is the owner. We are his investors. And in saying that, we looked at the principle that when we invest what God has given us, it shows us that we trust him. It shows that we trust him with it, for it and his ways. And we trust him to make it grow. And last week we did this by looking at Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, and we saw how two of the servants invested wisely and how one did not, right? For he instead buried out of fear what his master had entrusted to him. And there were consequences for that. And that servant, he experienced less than the best that the master had for him. Representing God was this master in this parable. Now, I was questioned a little bit after the sermon because someone said, Earl, in fact, I don't know if he's here today, but thank you, Earl, for processing and talking to me about it. But he came up to me and he said, well, Pastor Keith, that third servant, he invested too. He invested his time and his effort and even the work of his tools to bury what he was entrusted with, which I can agree is true, but I think we can all see that he invested his time and energy with what the master had entrusted him with foolishly and not in a way that we had defined it to make things grow and out of a motive that displays anything but trust, okay? It was out of a motive of what? It was out of a motive of fear, which is the opposite, I hope, of who we all want to be and what we want to be controlled or influenced by. We want to lean into faith, not fear. We want to lean into trust and not doubt as his followers. So anyway, with that said, the scripture that we're going to be studying today as we continue this series is Matthew chapter 6, which is part of Jesus' greatest recorded sermons. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in this point of his sermon, Jesus warns against stockpiling money and possessions on earth. And Jesus instead encourages believers to make choices with their time, money, and their energy that will store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. So right now, you can get to chapter 6 in Matthew of your Bible. And as you do that and get there, I just want to ask you this. And maybe it's more just for fun, but as we begin to think about this word treasure, okay, what is the first book or movie that comes to your mind when I say that word treasure? I heard some out there. Well, maybe you had the thought of like the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Goonies, right? National Treasure. Or maybe if you're anything like me, you thought of Treasure Island. Yeah, right? I got to tell you, that was one of my favorite books growing up as a kid. Originally written by Robert Louis Stevenson, with characters like Jim Hawkins, remember that? Long John Silver and Billy Bones. Billy Bones, what a great name for a character in a pirate book, right? And for a kid with an imagination, this was just great stuff. In fact, a few months back, I watched the movie of it, and man, I got to tell you, did it take me back to my childhood in a good way. And even in talking about it right now, I'm tempted to watch that movie again later or read the book. But anyway, the point is, okay, that this idea of acquiring or protecting treasure has been a common theme in movies, okay? It's been a common theme there. It's the cause for war, even today. It is the reason that many a family have feuds after the death of a loved one. And so with that said, it is into this concept, or even we can call it an obsession with acquiring and holding on to things and stuff and money, it's into that that Jesus speaks the words that we are about to read. All right, you ready for that? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body, said Jesus. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one, says Jesus, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, in this section of his sermon, Jesus presents three short thoughts, okay, that contrast the pursuit of worldly wealth with what should be the single-hearted desire of Christians, which is to do the will of the Father, wherein alone lies real and true wealth. His first thought in this section is this. He speaks about the storing up of treasures, okay? And then he moves into the topic of covetous eyes, while landing lastly at the impossibility of serving two masters. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to look at those all a little bit more closely, at each one of these sections, as we work together to silence the call of mine, 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 okay? So with that, let's just read verses 19 to 21 again. Jesus said this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Now, Jesus doesn't describe treasure specifically here in any kind of way, but clearly it means here the desires of a person's heart, or that which someone values above all else. So the obvious question for us today is, what do you treasure? Or what do you really value? You know, what would your calendar, what would your wallet, what would your thought life indicate that you value? Now, truth be told, I have treasured different things at different stages of my life. Like during my elementary school years, it was my NFL pencil collection. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. And then my tiny little NFL helmet collection that I got one at a time from the candy machine at Ames. Now, I know I'm really dating myself there, okay? If you're like 30 or younger, go Google Ames Department Store later. Not during the sermon, do it later, okay? It was awesome. It was a great store, okay? But anyway, then during my middle school years, I treasured my go-kart. I had a go-kart. My parents' lawn, it was full of circles and loops, ruts, no grass, okay? And then in high school, it was my first and second vehicle. And really, any kind of hunting gear I could get my hands on. And when I look back, okay, when I look back at these things that I treasured early in my life, when I look back at that, I come to a startling realization. They're all gone. They are all gone. Unless my dad, who tends to keep a lot of things for sentimental values, they are all gone. Most of what I valued, church, is likely rotting in some junkyard or garbage pile somewhere. And I look at that and I think all the time, all the energy, all the money, for nothing really. So what is it for you? What is it for you that you have spent time, money, resources, energy on that is no longer even a part of your life today? And this is just rotting somewhere in a garbage pile that you could have just been a little bit wiser with maybe back then. And maybe not even gotten so extravagant with maybe back then. That's back then, but what are you still doing that with today? What am I still doing that with today that in 10, 20 years won't really be a part of my life anymore, but that we feel is so important? How even did you spend your extra hour today? We got a gift today, an extra hour, didn't we? How did you spend that? You know, with that said, it wasn't until my mid-20s that I really began walking with Jesus. And I believe it was then that I began this process of storing up treasures in heaven. For it was then that I began to treasure things like investing in the lives of others and seeking to meet the needs of others above myself, those around me, the oppressed, the hurting. It was then that seeing people being introduced to Jesus Christ and walking more closely with him and walking more like him, that's when that started to matter to me. And it was then that I believe I began to finally treasure what would bring joy to others and thus ultimately bring joy to the heart of the Father. And I don't do it perfect, but it began then. And the point is this, church, the one who piles up and the one that chases after treasures here on earth will have his or her attention and commitment turned to earthly matters rather than to the will of God the Father in heaven. So let me ask you again, you're not getting away from this question. I'm not getting away from it. What do you treasure? What do you treasure? Do you treasure the joys and the pleasures of this world? Is that what you treasure? Or do you treasure to see the will of God be done here on earth as it is in heaven? And are you participating in making that happen with your money, with your time, with your energy? The places where we choose, did you hear that word? The place where we choose. We get to choose to store up. The place that we choose to do that is what we value most. It shows what our values are deep down inside. You know, later on in this book of Matthew that we're in, a rich man, he approached Jesus and he asked, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him this, Matthew 19, 21. "If you want to be perfect, go. Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come," said Jesus, "then come and follow me." Now let's be clear, this was not because wealth in and of itself is bad. Jesus said this here because he saw the greed in this man's heart, okay? And he saw that he was storing up treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. So what does Jesus see when he looks at my calendar? What does he see when he looks at my thought life? What does he see when he looks at my motives and where our money goes? What does he see? Church, be on your guard. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for our value does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It just does not. That's Luke 12, 15. Treasures in heaven is promised by Jesus to this rich man in Matthew 19 if he gives his wealth away to bless the poor, and as a way to defeat the grips of his own personal greed. Jesus Christ is saying that his followers must have a right sense of values and not only or primarily see earthly success, however that may be understood as the major aim of our labor. So what do you treasure? What do I treasure? What do we treasure? So our first of three sections today leads us to that challenging question. And then the second section of Jesus' teaching leads us to an equally challenging question, which is this: what do you covet? What do you covet? Let's look at verse 22 and 23 again. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, church, obviously the eye is what makes physical sight possible, right? The eye is what brings physical light into your and my body. And when our eyes are working properly, when they are healthy, you and I, we get all the light that is required to see clearly, right? As it first passes through the cornea, or it's called the dome, and then that bends the light to help the eye to focus, right? And then some of that light, it enters through the pupil, that center black part of your eye, and then the iris of our eye, that colored part of our eye, that controls, in fact, how much light that the pupil lets in. And then next, that light, it passes through the lens, which then works with the cornea to focus that light correctly onto the retina. And then when that light finally hits the retina, there's these things called photoreceptors that turn that light into actually electrical signals that travel to the brain through the optic nerve. And then the brain, did you know this? The brain turns those signals into the images that we see. Pretty amazing, right? Do you think there's a designer behind all that? You better, right? I better think about that. His name's God. But anyway, again, when your eye is healthy, you see clearly. However, if there is something blocking your or my eye, meaning not enough light is coming in, then your ability or my ability to see clearly is weakened, okay? It is impaired. And for sure that happens physically, but it also happens spiritually, which is what Jesus is primarily talking about here. Remember, our mind sentiment, it is rooted in the condition of one's heart spiritually. So what does all this have to do with treasures? Well, Jesus mentions that some who think they can see well, he says that they actually have a plank in their eye. Jesus says elsewhere, someone who thinks they can see well actually has a plank in their eye. And thus, he says, they cannot see even clearly enough to point out the sawdust in another person's eye. In other words, our vision is so easily blocked. Our vision is so easily impaired because of our own sin. And in the case of this mine, our own greed, okay? Or our own fear. And when you or I, when we become greedy, or when we put our trust and our joy in the things of money or possessions, we are no longer able to see things clearly. And our vision, it becomes cloudy, and we just end up losing our way, thinking that everything is what? It's mine. That thinking causes the light of God to be incorrectly reflected both in our lives and in the lives of people around us. Church, when our vision of God and others around us is blocked by our own greed, our own love of money and stuff, and obsession out of fear of keeping that money and stuff, do you know what happens? We stop opening our eyes in wonder to the God life, the bigger purpose and plans that he has for you and I. And we start, as the Message translation of the Bible says, we start to live squinty-eyed and in greed and in distrust. We end up believing the lie that all we have is ours, and we are then less inclined to be generous with others. So, church, metaphorically speaking, a generous eye, okay, is really the source of light. While an evil or a covetous eye, an eye that wants what others have, that is the source of darkness, church. So once again, ask yourself today, what do you covet? What do you covet? Now, to covet something is to want it, right? It's to want it. It's to be jealous of anyone who has it. And I got to tell you, the advertising industry, Their goal is to make you and I covetous. Covetous of things that other people have, so that you and I will do what? So that we'll buy it. So when you look at what other people have, do you have this little voice in your head that's screaming, mine? Mine. I want that. I need that to be mine. Church, this desire to have what others have, it will lead you and I to places of darkness. That's where it leads us. And it's probably led us to places of darkness before. Places of darkness like being depressed or being bitter or being discontent. It's maybe even led us to do things we ought not, to get those things that we feel like have to be mine. We've probably been there. Let's not do it again. Let's not do it again. Let's not do it anymore. Let's not do it again or anymore, starting and beginning with today. Because the ugly reality, church, is that whatever you gain is never enough. Whatever I gain is never enough. There will always be someone with more, and there will always be someone with something for you to desire, for you to crave. And Jesus' intention in this part of the sermon is that we, okay, that we, you, would be set free, free from this ugly, life-sucking cycle. Listen, the goal, in fact, the secret, the goal or the secret is to be content, not covetous. So when you look at your, I don't know what, when you look at your house or your car or your phone or your bank account or even your body, are you content? Are you content? The goal is that when we look at our lives, that we would not desire someone else's life over our own life. Now, in saying that, it's okay to want and to work towards growing our lives, okay? That's okay. When God's in the center of that and what we have, it's okay to want to grow what we have, but only, church, with the focus that these things serve us and not us serving them, and that they ultimately serve our God in heaven. Now, with that said, if the first two questions that we have pondered, if they haven't really, you know, kind of exposed your heart's desires, then I believe this last question will. Let's relook at verse 24. God's word says this. No one, said Jesus, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. A slave with two masters can't do justice to either, church. Now, slave, it's a strong term, right? It points to complete devotion. Complete devotion to serve a master. That requires something. It requires total and undivided attention and commitment, which is why serving two masters effectively, that's not possible. So if a person chooses to follow Jesus, the commitment and service required are absolute, okay? And with that said, it is possible to devote oneself wholly to the service of God, and it is possible to devote oneself wholly to the service of money. But it is not possible to devote oneself wholly to the service of both. It's not. It is impossible to serve two masters, whether one of them be wealth or anything else in your life, when the master is meant to be God. So, since money tends to draw people away from God, right? Jesus warns us about it here. He warns us about it here. Now, it is not a sin to have money, but it is a sin to serve, or aka be a slave to money. So here's the question, okay? Here's the question that goes with this section of the sermon. Whom or what do you serve? Really, when you look at it, whom or what do you serve? Now, when I think about this dilemma of loving God or loving money, I'm drawn to the story of Judas from the Bible. You remember him. He's the one who betrayed Jesus. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't say too much about Judas, but we do know that he was the treasurer, okay? He was the treasurer for Jesus and his disciples. A job that, interestingly enough, wasn't given to Matthew, a former tax collector. So anyway, Judas is the treasurer, okay? And what we do know is that Judas, he did take money from the collection for his own use. We see that in John 12, 16. And then, of course, Judas's love of money eventually overpowered his love for Jesus as he sold his master out for 30 pieces of silver. A decent amount back then, but nothing really crazy, honestly. And then overcome with shame, Judas hanged himself. He did that soon after. Now, when I reflect on Judas, I just can't imagine how one of Christ's followers, his closest followers, one of the 12, could sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. I mean, think about it. Judas, he ate many meals with Jesus. He laughed with Jesus. He saw Jesus do the unthinkable time and time again as he healed and as he cast out demons. So why and how did he betray Jesus? Why was he the one at the table willing to make such a decisive act against the one that he loved, the one that he followed? Well, plain and simple, it's because you can't serve both God and money. You just can't. And you know what? Satan knew. He knew which buttons to push with Judas. Judas, who valued financial resources more than he valued Jesus at the end of the day. You know, think about it. Satan was looking for the person for the job, right? So when the opportunity came to sell Jesus out for a modest amount of silver, Judas took it. He took the bait. Now you may be saying, you know, hey, I would never sell Jesus out for money. But let me ask you, are you so sure? Am I so sure? Because we sell out Jesus and the Jesus lifestyle every time that we maybe cheat on our taxes or agree to a shady deal. Or maybe when we keep, you know, the money that the cashier gave us too much of, we're selling his lifestyle out right there. Or even when we hold back on giving to the church because we'd rather, I don't know, go on that vacation sooner rather than later that we've been dreaming of. Now, I'm not saying, don't hear me, I'm not saying don't go on vacation. I'm not saying that you don't deserve that, but what are you treasuring more? What am I treasuring more? Which one is trumping the other? Now, in Judas's case, his love of money, it cost him his life. And I got to tell you, your and my love of money will cost us the same. Maybe not physically, but it will cost us the life that is truly life. A life in line with the plans and the purposes and the meaning that God has for you and I. That's going to be lost in that. It's going to be sacrificed. It's going to be squandered. It's going to be surrendered. And speaking of Judas, just remember, Satan knows, okay? He knows what buttons to push with you and I too. He knows the buttons to block out some of that light from entering our eyes. You cannot serve both God and money. You just can't. And maybe it isn't money for you. Maybe there's another master that you serve. I mean, consider what gets the majority, again, of your time, the majority of your attention. What thoughts fill your head when you have downtime? And with that, here's just an overarching encouragement for you and I today. Let's take some time to reassess and invest our life in the kingdom of God. So as we near a close, let's just revisit the three questions from today. What do you treasure? What do you treasure? What do you covet? What do you see with your eyes that just screams inside of you, mine, 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 I gotta have it? What do you covet? What do I covet? And whom or what do you serve at the end of the day? Now, in saying all that, the simple Sunday school answer would be Jesus, right? I treasure and I serve Jesus. I covet nothing and no one else. I just want to focus on Jesus and what he has for me. But it is meant to be more than just in word alone. I mean, again, when was the last time, maybe think about this, when's the last time that you just spent significant time meditating on Scripture and allowing the words of it to transform you? And I ask this because of this. As I began to dive into the Word of God, when I really and have committed to give my life to Him, my heart changed. And my heart is still changing today. And I began and I continue to treasure things like I mentioned before, the investment of lives of others, seeking to meet the needs of the oppressed, the hurting, the lost, introducing people to Jesus Christ, helping them to walk more closely with Him. And I'm just telling you, okay, that Scripture declares, the truth declares, and my personal testimony confirms that investing in and treasuring the things of God that are gonna last forever is where true life is at. That's just where it's at. And it is what He has for us to do. So let's just make sure, okay? Let's make sure our eyes are healthy. Let's make sure we keep those eyes healthy, because a generous eye is the source of light. And we are to be generous with what we have versus constantly saying, mine, 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 in our minds and with our actions. Church, Matthew 6:24. No one, okay? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So through this series, the hope is, okay? The hope is that we will all shift. That will shift from saying, mine, 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 to it's all yours. Not mine, 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 it's yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that these are tough things to wrestle with, but when we wrestle with You, that's where relationship grows and is built. And Lord, many of us, myself included, we have these times and these moments where we're like, what is life about? What is it really about? And Lord, Your word, it's challenging, but You told us what it's about. And it's about using what You've given us, admitting it's Yours, and serving others with it, and serving You with it through that. So Lord, I pray that we would just step in faith and in trust and do that more in the way that You're calling us. Like with the guy we talked about, he talked about money with him because Jesus saw the greed in his heart. I don't know where people's greed is at, but You do. You know where mine is. So Lord, would You work on us and point that out right now, even in this moment, so that we can walk more closely with You. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.